Did you notice that the days are just a wee bit shorter now? You know, nothing to do with daylight savings time. They should be getting longer. Well, that giant 9-0 Japanese earthquake shook up the entire planet, and it shifted the Earth's axis. Yeah, shortening the day just a teeny weeny little bit. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, the earthquake shifted some global positioning stations, you know, GPS stations in the country, and one near the epicenter moved 13 feet. Wow. To put it in another way, Japan is wider now than it was before, said one USGS scientist. Joining me now to talk more about it is Richard Gross. He's a research scientist in the Geodesy and Space Group at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. Welcome to Science Friday.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure to join you.
What is the Space Geodesy Group about at NASA?
Well, we use space geodetic measurements such as from GPS to study how the planet deforms and its rotation changes as a result of mass motion within and on the Earth.
And you can tell from the GPS things around the countryside that you have placed around there?
Yeah, there's a worldwide network of GPS receivers that we use that continually monitor how the Earth is rotating.
And this was such a big earthquake that it changed the rotation of the Earth.
According to a calculation I did, it should have gotten the days should have gotten shorter by about 1.8 microseconds. That's 1.8 millionths of a second.
1.8 millionths of a second. Not something we're really going to notice, but I would imagine to scientists that's an important number.
Yes, the Earth's rotation changes all the time. The length of the day changes mostly in response to changes in the atmospheric winds. And these winds, the effect of the winds can be 500 times larger than this effect of the earthquake. And we need to account for these changes in the length of the day at JPL because it affects how we navigate spacecraft to planets like Mars.
Huh. And what other things affect it? You know, I know we have melting glaciers and water sloshing and things like that. Would that also affect the rotation?
Yeah, it certainly does. Anything that moves mass around will, in principle, affect the Earth's rotation. But in order for it to have a measurable effect, it has to be a lot of mass. So changes in the atmosphere, changes in the oceans, melting ice off Greenland, all of these can affect the Earth's rotation.
And what about the axis? Was the axis tilted any?
The Earth rotates about its rotation axis, but the mass of the Earth is not balanced about that axis. If the mass of the Earth were balanced about that axis, it would spin very smoothly, just like a well-balanced tire on your car spins smoothly. But the mass of the Earth is not balanced about its rotation axis, and so it wobbles as it rotates, just like an out-of-balance tire on your car vibrates as it rotates. And it's that axis about which the mass is balanced is what shifted during this earthquake. The earthquake rearranges the mass of the Earth, and therefore the figure axis moved by about 6.5 inches.
So it's like somebody moved one of those little weights on your tire when they bang it in with the hammer.
Exactly. And it's the global displacement of the mass of the Earth that was important for the Earth rotation to change.
And what kind of instruments? You mentioned the space probes that NASA might send. Tell me about what kind of the what's out there now and what kinds of things might be affected. Are these things that are far away near, you know, circulating Saturn or are they stuff that's right near the Earth here?
Well, every satellite that is launched to the planets like Mars or Saturn or asteroids, when we navigate those planets to those spacecraft to make sure that we target, you know, accurately approach the target body, we have to account for these kinds of changes in the Earth's rotation. It turns out that if you were to simply assume that the Earth were rotating uniformly without, any change, you could be off by kilometers in the position of where you want to land a rover on Mars.
Yeah. Now you said that your one of your GPS stations moved almost 13 feet. Is that common? Something like that?
For these really great earthquakes, stations close to the source of the earthquake can move many feet like that, many meters. Of course, the motion gets much smaller as you move farther away from the source of the earthquake. But even a few thousand kilometers away, you can still have displacements of a millimeter or so.
Well, you know, that's how mountains get pushed up, right? We have these earthquakes or these tectonic events. A little 13 feet here, a little 10 feet there. Soon you got the Himalayas.
That's right. Over time, all of these small displacements caused by earthquakes build up, and that's how mountains form. That's right.
It's just amazing to think about how many it must have taken to throw up these giant mountains, how long over a period of time, and how many different earthquakes must have happened.
Yeah, well, the tectonic plates that make up the crust of the Earth have been moving for, you know, millions, even hundreds of millions of years, causing these mountains to grow.
Mm-hmm. And now you've done a computer model on this. How can you verify that it's correct, your calculation? Is there any way to do that?
Yes, we can look at the GPS measurements we have of the change in the Earth's rotation and try to see if we can detect what I calculated the earthquake should have caused. And this will be a bit challenging because it's a small signal, and there are these other mechanisms like the atmosphere and oceans that cause much bigger changes in the Earth's rotation. Mm-hmm. So we'll take the observations and we'll remove these larger effects due to the atmosphere and oceans, and with any luck, we'll see this smaller signal caused by the earthquake.
Mm-hmm. This is NPR Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. And we're talking about the earthquake and what it did to the rotation of the Earth. Have there been bigger ones than this that have shifted the wobble and the axis and stuff on the Earth?
There have certainly been bigger earthquakes on the Earth. In fact, the largest earthquake that's been recorded was in 1960 in Chile, and I did a similar calculation for that earthquake, and according to my calculation, it should have changed the length of the day by about 8 microseconds.
Is it? Wow. Is there any way you can run your computer model backwards to see, you know, the past histories of where earthquakes might have happened or the wobble may have changed eons ago?
Well, I use seismic information for how the fault slipped during the earthquake.
Right.
So I need that information to do my model. And so I can only run my model on the earthquakes that I have that information, which only spans about the last 30 years or so.
And so your model doesn't have any predictive value about predicting when we might have another earthquake.
Oh, no, of course not. This model just computes the consequence of the earthquake on the Earth's rotation.
Mm-hmm. And this earthquake has been pretty well monitored, has it not? I mean, you're in Japan. They have earthquakes there all the time. There are sensors all over the world and certainly all over that Ring of Fire area. There must be an awful lot of data that scientists have been collecting on this earthquake.
Yes, that's right. Japan is one of the best instrumented countries in the world as far as seismometers and GPS receivers go. And so this is one of the best recorded earthquakes. And hopefully by analyzing all of this data in the future, we'll have a better understanding of how really great earthquakes like this occur.
And maybe someplace puts this data together and might see a precursor that might have hinted and tell us when to expect another one.
That is one of the things that the scientists are certainly looking at. With having such a wealth of data from this earthquake, not only during the earthquake, but before and after, they'll certainly be looking for those precursors.
Mm-hmm. And a quake like this, even though you talked about it moving, you know, the Japan just a little bit wider, does it move to the other, does it cause stuff on the other side of the earth to change also?
In principle, it will, but by such a small amount that there's no hope of measuring it. You can measure the changes up to maybe a few thousand kilometers away, but that's about as far as you'll be able to see the displacements.
Mm-hmm. And so where do you go with your research now? What would you like to do next?
Well, actually, my next research project is what you mentioned, having to do with melting ice off of Greenland and Antarctica. I'm currently looking into the impact that will have on the Earth's rotation.
Oh, you mean as global warming melts the ice off the continents and they start flooding into the ocean, we're going to have more water, more liquid water.
Exactly. As all that meltwater flows into the oceans, it raises the level of the oceans, and that can change the Earth's rotation.
Wow. You know, we think about it, but we don't think of all the consequences. That's why you guys are out there doing it.
Yeah, well, for most people, these small changes in the Earth's rotation have no consequence, but it's important for us at JPL when we navigate spacecraft.
And there you have it. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us today, and good luck on your mathematics.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Richard Gross, a research scientist in the Geodynamics and Space Geodesy Group at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, of course. That's in Pasadena. That's about all the time we have for our program. Our program senior producer is Annette Heiss. Charles Berquist is our director. Flora Lichtman is our multimedia editor. Our producers are Christopher Taliata, Catherine Wells, Leisha Bayak. Neil Rausch is our technical director. Manoli Weatherill at the controls here in New York today. Sam Flato is our intern. If you missed any part of the program, go over to iTunes, subscribe to our podcasts, audio and video, and you can download them. Then they'll come right to your computer on your iPhone and your Android app, or you can go to our website at Science Friday and take Science Friday along with you on your apps and continue week-long discussions on Twitter. We'll still be tweeting at SciFry, at SCIFRI, and conversation continuing on our Facebook page. And while you're on our homepage at sciencefriday.com, take our survey. We need a few more folks to give us their opinions about being part of our Science Friday survey. So just click on the survey button there. And if you'd like to become part of our focus group, let us know. I'm Ira Flato in New York.